Okay, welcome back. One of the most important topics on the internet right now, and it's beginning to manifest itself all over the place, is will there or will there not be a nuclear exchange? And I think at this point, every single development in the last year and a half has been pointing toward forcing Russia into at least a tactical nuclear exchange. It does appear that the primary venue for such will be perhaps Poland. Europe will find out. The French continue to provoke Russia to stick needles and knives into Putin, etc. They're really playing it stupid. Today, here's the headline. Toward an atomic war. That's not thermonuclear, that's an atomic. That's usually a tactical nuke. Toward an atomic war. Stoltenberg says, quote, NATO is aiming to put nuclear weapons on full military alert. And Russia, of course, has already done that, and they're ready to answer. So is NATO de-escalating? Not in the least. Now, here's a quick little sideline, because we're going to talk to Dick Allgaier and Ed Reardon in just a couple of minutes from the Future Forecasting Group, which is always worth paying attention to, the greatest assemblage of remote viewers that I've ever seen. Here from India is a story from Shit Hit the Fan. It's Kushal Kumar, K-U-S-H-A-L, Kushal Kumar, often called the new Nostradamus. Well, he's saying for the second time, I believe in about a week, that World War III is days away. Now, I don't like predictions, forecasting, but they're news notes, and as news, I'll report them. Kushal Kumar is saying that World War III is going to break out in just a few days. He's not backing down over his stark warning issued just last month, claiming that a catastrophic nuclear conflict is imminent. So he is standing firm on his pronouncement. We'll see. Now, speaking of the Future Forecasting Group, one of their really extraordinary viewers, and there are, I think, nine of them now, eight or nine, is Daz Smith. We've had Daz on the program in the past. He just came up with some kind of a viewing session that gave him an image, he drew it, of a missile in flight of some kind, and the words came to him in the viewing session. The words were, first strike, first strike. Now, with that, before I play Daz speaking about this, let me bring on Dick Allgaier to have him comment on this, because I don't want to take all of the thunder away from this, because it's Dick's group of professionals, and they are professionals. They're the best. Hello, Richard. Welcome back. You've seen the Daz Smith piece, I'm sure, and I'm going to play it here in just a moment. Anything you want to add to this?
Well, yeah, I was there on the debrief when you came up with that. We look at two ways we look ahead. Three ways we look ahead. One is every month we do a structured, partially front-loaded session where we say, okay, it's the end of May. We want to see the top news stories that are going to happen in June. So all the viewers go into their state, go into their session, do their structured protocol, and get data about what they see as the top news stories. Another way we do things is sometimes they task us double blind, and it will be a what we call a near future event. And the date on that might be selected by the tasker. Like, it's not necessarily the next month. It could be 2026, could be 2050, it could be 6 months. And right. So we look at events. And then sometimes stuff pops up when we least expect it. Like, they give us another target, like life extension technology for humans, some technical target. And instead of getting that, we all get what we call a luminosity event. So it'll be like, hey, this thing is more luminous than what we were supposed to look at, but we all got missiles flying and explosions. Right. That was the case last September when we were given a target, and initially they said, oh, you all missed the target. You all were having a bad, an off day. So throw your, you know, set your data aside and do another session. And so we did, and we all missed it again, but we all got the same thing. Like there was going to be a new 9/11 event, some attack with shooting and a lot of bombs going on. We saw the events in when in Israel, their 9/11, and we looked at that and thought, do we dare put this out? Because this is kind of dire, like something the next 9/11. And we thought, well, we'll put it out, but we'll downplay it. Like we're not going to try to make headlines with it. We're just going to get it on the record. And it you can't put something like that out without it going like, woo, the internet just breaks
right
with it. So we put that out, and then the attack, call it what you will, the events in Israel matched our session exactly, and we're like, okay, everybody, like, wow, you guys are good. What we saw in that was that there was a two-pronged event, like that would be one event, and then sometime in mid
the October 7th attack you're talking about.
Yeah, the October 7th attack. But we also, I think the data said there will be another, there will be some other event that is just as big mid 2024. So Daz's session, I think it was our monthly events. Yeah. So now, Jeff, we always try to
May 29th, 2024.
Okay, so that was his, yeah, that was his look ahead for June. The caveat I would put on that would be, one, if it's a really big event, it might be more than 30 days out. It may be, you know, it could be 6 months out. So the time is real slippery. Because right. in consciousness, in the, it's like looking over the horizon. It's kind of a smear of time. There's no calendrical time. There's no like June 1st and June 30th in consciousness.
So, he's a little more specific in this. We'll hear that now. By the way, the second part of the event in the Mideast, you got the October 7th event. The second part you saw is the genocide. And don't, dear friends, don't believe for a moment, and I'm not speaking for Dick or Edward who's there, don't believe that 37,000 have been killed in Gaza. It's over 200,000. That's my figure. And I put that together with an awful lot of work. It's huge. They've slaughtered a lot of people there. And I mean they in Washington, D.C., and their controllers in Tel Aviv and Israel. I'm speaking for myself here. All right, here to loop back on NATO's decision today to bring their tactical nukes up to full combat readiness to match the Russians, and the Nostradamus in India, who's saying twice now, once a month ago, once now, we are days away from a nuclear exchange. And he went beyond that, but I'll leave it at that. Now, here's Daz Smith on May 29th, just a few weeks ago, talking about his session. And he drew a missile. You'll be able to see it. You can look at it. It's up there. And he wrote the words, first strike. All right? Now, here we go.
I had a flash visual of some kind of missile thing with the words first strike. So an aerial vehicle here, a strategic military event, start of the month, end of the month, middle of the month, roughly around about the 19th here. Big words, first strike, which is weird because there are several wars going on right now, but there's not really been a first strike kind of scenario. Then I had a flash visual of some kind of missile thing with the words first strike. So an aerial vehicle here, a strategic military event, start of the month, end of the month, middle of the month, roughly around about the 19th here. Big words, first strike, which is...
Okay, so I played a little bit of it twice just so you get it. But that's what he got. Now, does that mean it's going to happen? No. Does that mean there is a precedent for paying attention to what comes up in these remote viewing sessions of the Future Forecasting Group? Yes, absolutely. Now, with that done, I wanted to get that out there. Let's say hello to Edward Reardon. Hello, Ed. Welcome back on the program. It's good to talk to you again.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. Great to be back on. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. You and Dick have gotten together, and there are pictures up there. If you want to click right below Dick Allgaier's name and guess, and Ed's name, you'll see it. They remote viewed a very interesting target, and I'm being told that that disgusting picture of this man, I won't name him yet, walking essentially nude down a public beach, is not really him, but that was some kind of a digital construct of what looks like him. And him will be apparent in just a moment. But tell us how you got this target. What's this about, Dick?
Let's back up 1 second with Edward.
Sure.
On Daz's data. Because Edward and I have worked, Daz, how long has it been, like 5 years now at Future Forecasting? I've worked with Daz for like 12
years. 6 years, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It goes way back, yeah.
Okay, so did you just, you heard that clip, right,
yeah.
Edward?
Yes.
Isn't
want me to
it
play
your...
it again? I can play it again if you want. He's
yeah, okay.
Real specific about June 19th around there.
Let me preface this before you play
sure.
it. Let me preface this. We debrief with Daz every week, so 52 weeks of the year, sometimes
right.
twice a week. So we know, I know Daz's data. When he is off target, his presentation is, he'll just say, well, you know, I got this, but I don't have any confidence in it. I don't really believe this, or he really downplays his data. If he's not getting a strong signal line, he just won't get data. He'll go, well, I had a bad session. I didn't get much. And he's not ashamed to say that. When he gives it forcefully, I give it more credence. Is that your perception, Edward?
I would agree with you on that, yeah.
So just play a little bit of that and listen to how confident.
All right, it's a short clip, so I'll.
Daz is not beating around the bush saying, well, I think maybe kind of sort of got this.
This is a big one for me as an observer of Future Forecasting Group and the great people there. And Daz has been on many times. Here we go. This is short. I'll just join it in progress the best I can do.
Right now, but there's not really been a first strike kind of scenario. Then I had a flash visual of some kind of missile thing with the words first strike. So an aerial vehicle here, a strategic military event, start of the month, end of the month, middle of the month, roughly around about the 19th here. Big words, first strike, which is weird because there are several wars going on right now, but there's not really been a first strike kind of scenario. Then I had a flash visual of some kind of missile thing with the words first strike. So an aerial vehicle here, a strategic military event, start of the month, end of the month, middle of the month, roughly around about the 19th here. Big words, first strike.
Okay, there you go.
So there was a confidence in his voice.
Yeah, I heard it.
So are we, you know, claiming that's, there's going to be a first thermonuclear strike that sets off World War III and devastates cities? No. It might not happen, or it might be. Sometimes remote viewers don't get the magnitude of something. Like you see a missile launch and you go, wow, it's a first strike. And it might be somebody striking the Houthis.
It all dovetails into this constant escalation, though. That's the part that fits for me. I'm not saying it's going to happen on the 19th. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying this is part of the information flow that points in one direction, and that's a nuclear confrontation, a nuclear exchange. Whether it's atomic or thermo, I don't know, but go ahead.
If it's any consolation... I do have an advisor behind the scenes that knows pretty well the way things are going to unfold, who tells me they won't allow a full-scale thermonuclear strategic war.
I see it as a tactical, maybe a hitting tactical, Poland, something in Poland, a couple of hits there. Have you had enough? That kind of thing. I know who you mean.
That's very likely.
I would say it is likely. This has been pushed to that extent. That Europe is going to be the killing ground, I think. I think we have to look at it in terms of an intercontinental thermonuclear exchange at this point.
Yeah.
But something's going to give there sooner or later. All right.
So on to Klaus Schwab. Edward, I'll let you tell the audience how we get tasked this. When did we do that? About a month ago?
I think it was a couple of months ago.
End of April, early May?
Yeah, that sounds about right. We can do like any target. You know, here's your here's your target ID for the week, and get going, you know. And so we just do our thing and turn in our work, and then we have a debrief, and the target is revealed. It was the same as any other one. But the sessions themselves were fascinating. Dick's session was fascinating. My session was fascinating. I tell you what I love the most about remote viewing, Jeff, is that it's my learning. It's the way I learn things. And
what a nice way to look at it. It's a great teacher.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah. I have dyslexia, so learning is very challenging for me. Mm-hmm. And so when I was a kid, I was F student as a kid. I always wanted a way to learn, you know. And remote viewing is how I learn things.
Wow.
And so that's how the target came about. Just another target. Here you go, guys.
What was it, Edward? What was the approximate target letters and numbers sequence? Do you remember? Just tell our listeners what you
it
had
was,
to work with.
A6J0-N9SA. That was it.
I want everyone to know that Edward and Dick were not given Klaus Schwab A6 at whatever. No, they just got the numbers and letters. That's it. That's all they got. Go ahead.
And we don't see each other's work. So Edward is in Texas doing work. The target is active. There's no target talk. We don't compare notes. We don't talk. We don't even allow ourselves to say, how are you doing on this target until we're all done? Like, we just completed one that we're going to debrief day after tomorrow. All our data's in, we're finished. And the most I said to Edward was, that one felt kind of weird. Yeah, I got kind of weird data. Do you have any idea what it was? No, neither do I. Well, we'll see. So we're given those letters, A6J0-N9SA. And Edward does his thing in Texas. I do mine in Hawaii. And we go on a Zoom and they turn on the camera. And we go, okay, here we are, future forecasting, here's showtime. We still don't know what it is. And I still haven't seen Edward's session. He hasn't seen mine. So it can either be amazing, or it can be like, ooh, kind of, no, that wasn't so good. But this one was amazing because Edward and I got really good complementary data. So so here we are. It's showtime. It's Wednesday afternoon. Wednesday evening, they flip on Zoom. And Edward, tell them what, Sean goes, okay, here's your target.
Yep. You know what was funny about that, too, was that Dick had in his room, back in the corner, hardly even visible through his webcam, was the whiteboard that he had with the drawing of the guy. And so that's
already,
just
already drawn on it, Dick? You already
well,
had
he,
it?
He, he, no. had, yeah, okay, he had already let, done it.
Okay. They gave us the target. I worked it. I did my whiteboard.
I see.
And at the culmination of my whiteboard, I did a 30-minute. And the last thing I drew was I drew Klaus Schwab and I wrote Klaus, and I recorded it live on camera. And so I was done. I turned it in, and I didn't erase the whiteboard. I thought, damn, if that's Klaus Schwab, because I still didn't know. I thought, if that's Klaus Schwab, that's a hell of a drawing. I'm either going to be embarrassed or I'm going to. So I set it over against my wall way off to the side, and my webcam picked it up. So we come on to do the debrief, and you could see the drawing off in the corner.
You look under guests, look under Dick Allgaier and Edward Reardon, and see images, and click on the images, and you'll see the picture. That is actually an extraordinarily effective caricature of that strange human being. I'll give him that much. Yeah, that's a good.
Do you want to know something? I don't know why I did this, but spontaneously I was. When you get on the target line, stuff just comes out of you. I said, and he signs his name, and I signed his name. We got to look and see if I signed his something, if it looks kind of like how he signed his name, because I kind of became him for a half a second, like, oh.
So. Well, you gave him that Star Trek jacket with the epaulets sticking up on it, too, which is...
Well, that was the target photo. That was the photo they used in the target hearing. They showed us that as feedback.
Yeah, so Sean reveals the target. And the target is, Klaus Schwab. We all fell out of our chairs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, this is going to be a good one. This is going to be a good one. Well, and it was. We had an amazing session.
I drew him. I think Edward named him at one point in his session, too. So we both had Klaus in
Edward, what was your emotional involvement in coming up with this target successfully? Did you have any sense of the man? You knew it was a man at some point. What did you feel about that guy?
Well, can I interrupt?
Sure,
before
you can.
This is really interesting because it's a really good example of how two different remote viewers and two different personalities perceive the same target. Because as you see my whiteboard, I go, oh, there's a man and he's in the spotlight. Oh, there's a man and he's on camera. Oh, there's a man and he's like talking at a conference where there's like a forum or something. And he's on camera and he's up at a podium. And I thought, and then I started saying, but he doesn't seem very likable. Like, he should be up there and people should adore him or people should look up to him. But these people are there like, oh, this guy's talking. We got to be polite to him. And I just started getting a bad feeling about him that grew and grew through the session. And then at some point, I realized it was Klaus and I was going, who put him in charge? He's bad. I wrote Antichrist. I said I had all kinds of bad stuff. So I personally disliked him. Edward came at it from a whole different angle, not praising him, but more analytical. Your feeling about the thing, Edward, was a whole other layer of type of data, and I'll let you describe it, because you weren't repulsed. I was repulsed by him. You weren't necessarily repulsed. You were more interested in him.
Yeah. Well, I was overcome with curiosity because whatever the target was really a fascinating one. But there was a moment in early on in the session where I started to get all these words that start with RE, replace, remodel, rebuild, reconstruct, all the re-words, I call them. I said, there's a lot of re-words. And I'm going through all these re-words, but I left out the one, reset. I had rebuild in there, but I left out reset.
And well, here, Edward, here are the re-words right off the whiteboard here. Replace, remodel, rebuild, reconstruct, replacement, replenish, and removed. What does that sound like to y'all? Sounds like they're tearing something down and they're going to rebuild it, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. But you know what's interesting about that part of the session was by leaving out the word reset, it freed me up a bit. I didn't feel like I was getting kind of pigeonholed into going a certain way. But as the session began to unfold with these ideas that were coming out of this place and this person and the people around him and all that, it was fascinating because the ideas were grandiose and they were difficult to not agree with in some to not disagree with in some ways. Like, this sounds pretty good. And I even had to question myself several times throughout the session. Is this a snow job here? Is this BS? Is this for real? You know, is it really this positive or this good? It sounds great. You know, so I was having to question it through the entire session. But I didn't want to make any kind of a judgment down there. And there was a point about midway through where I have this movement that I do if I'm starting to get emotionally involved in whatever the target is. I'll tell myself to describe it without any emotion involved. So that takes me out of the picture, and I just can just explore whatever this idea is or what's going on here. And I did that. Uh-huh. And it just opens up a whole another range of information about whatever the target is, which was in this case, these kind of Romanesque people who wanted to start a new empire, a 1,000-year goal, that kind of thing, where there's prosperity here and there's this and that and the other thing there.
For the and chosen again, survivors, the elite.
That's why, like I say, Jeff, I had to continually question it throughout the session. Is that really true? And the person, as I continued to allow it to unfold like that, the person then became a megalomaniac and a Caesar type. And so as the session came more towards the end, it was more like, if you don't pay homage to those who put you in this position, they might just stick a knife in your back. And if you don't pay it, you could be removed, They'll remove you if you don't pay a certain kind of homage to those who put you where you are.
So there's an ego aspect to this that goes beyond the mechanical reconstruction, reformatting that is clearly on the table now. These people are on a trip, so to speak. If they're thinking that they're ancient Rome reincarnated, that would be a measure of them as rather trivial people at some level. Although the power they wield is enormous. Richard, go ahead.
Enormous.
Well, this might be the most amazing part of the whole project that we did was whenever we were doing this. And Edward ends his session by saying, if you're not careful, they'll remove you. So what was your wording, Edward? I think I gave Jeff that clip. It's up on the website. It's like
I said,
they'll
homage
knife you in the back
to those who put you there, or they may conspire to remove you.
So
that was the last thing I wrote in that session.
So we're debriefing Klaus Schwab, and he's still the head of the World Economic Forum, and Edward goes, be careful, they'll remove you. We published that, and 5 days after we published it, it was announced that he was stepping down. So Edward correctly forecast that, and it was published, verified, on the record a week before it happened. So that was a...
And so status, Dick? What is it? He went in the hospital. He was sick.
I had some health problems on him. I think his... kidneys are failing from my session. Mm-hmm. Oh, and by the way, let me put the plug in really quick. To see all the sessions, this is kind of sensitive material, so we don't put it up in... There are rules about, like, what you can put on YouTube or what you can put in public. So we are able to put much more detailed, sensitive data out in a private forum where you have a membership, and then we play it for our members. We have more latitude to what we can publish. So it is futureforecastinggroup.com. So to see Klaus Schwab, you got to get like a visionary membership. I think we put that out at all levels, futureforecastinggroup.com. So, Edward correctly forecast that he would be moved aside. And I had health issues in mind.
Is he formally aside now?
Yes.
Just keep everybody up to speed.
Yeah, he stepped
any
back.
Any successor name? Any chatter? Are they really going to put Joe Biden in his position? Is that true?
Oh, I haven't heard that.
I did a quick Google search this afternoon, and I didn't see anyone who had been selected to take his place
yet.
Interesting thing, though.
He's got a daughter, though, Edward. You know, he's got a daughter, Dick. She's a hard ass, so don't be surprised.
Well, that's interesting because I had in my session that it was a dynasty and that this person had like a family-owned business. And the exaltation that he enjoyed was because of, you know, largely due to the type of support that he has. But it was like a dynasty that would be involved. His family would be involved.
Interesting.
His daughter's, you know, family member steps in. We had that in there as well.
So from an analytical standpoint, Edward's session is probably more of a gold mine of data than mine is, because I did the show offy thing. I drew Klaus Schwab. It goes Klaus Schwab, but
well, neither one of
I'd
you
only
drew
generated,
him on the beach, though, right?
Well, yeah, I saw that too, because that's part of his public persona. I mean, I did draw that. But
is that you saw it? Okay, is that really supposed to be him? I mean,
no, I
real
don't think
deal?
It is. I think that's
Photoshop.
Part of the consciousness of him. Like a lot of people believe that's him, but I don't think it is.
Okay.
So the problem is, I had only generated about 30 minutes of data, and the first 10 minutes is low-level data, like, oh, it's a man. Oh, he's on TV sometimes. And once I name Klaus Schwab and draw Klaus, I'm done. So I could have actually gotten a lot more valuable data if I hadn't realized who. Like, remember the time I did Hitler, Jeff? That was with Jim. We did a...
It's up on the homepage over on the right-hand side under features. If you scroll way down, you'll see that program. Dick and I and Jim Mars, our remote
view. So I did probably 90 minutes, at least an hour at the whiteboard, maybe 90 minutes. I never figured out it was Hitler. I didn't know who. This is a famous guy that was involved in a war, and he was like a president or something, and he went to a foreign country, and he died.
I remember this now.
I never knew it was Hitler, but I got all this really good data about Hitler's life and what he did after, and that he was buried anonymously and they moved his remains. I got really good data without it's better if you don't, because once I knew it was Klaus Schwab, then I'm front loaded and it's conscious mind fills it in. So it's better to not know and to just get the raw data.
Well, for all of you out there, do set some time aside. Go over and look on the right side. Scroll down. You'll find it. For our program, and we did this remote viewing Adolf Hitler with Jim, the great Jim Mars, the great Richard Allgaier, and yours truly hanging around. We did it, and it was really something.
That video I put up has been taken down and banned. Anywhere I try to publish it, it gets removed.
It's still up on my page, or at least it better be. Really?
Look. Yeah. I wouldn't. Well, go look at it, but I wouldn't publicize that. Is the whole raw video, or just the program with Jim Mars?
The program with Jim Mars.
Yeah. Well, the whole documentary that I made was. Yeah, that was. That's banned.
Try and put it up on Rumble. They seem to be fairly, so far, reasonable. That should be up.
Well, as you know, when you get to the level that Edward and I are at, we try to be careful. Like, there's some World War II history, real history, is a sensitive subject, and I'm surprised with what you and Harry Cooper get away with, but Edward and I are more, we want to keep doing what we're doing, so we're cautious. Like, Edward, you don't want to go step on anybody's toes, right? There's no need to.
No, I mean, I learned that lesson a long time ago, and yeah. I mean, you'll see it in sessions, like, it's about as far as I'm going to go on that, you know. I'm not going to go any farther than that. You can put yourself into the danger zone, and so you just understand that.
I'll put it this way. Remote viewers, that we're pretty good. We could cause trouble. We could put out data that some people wouldn't want disclosed, and we're cognizant of that, and so we stay in our lanes because we don't want, you can step over a line and it's not good, and we don't want to do that. So get plenty of interesting stuff. So.
Right. Well, the program, both hours are up there on the right side, that My Audio Files, Remote Viewing the Death of Adolf Hitler, Jeff Rentz, Jim Mars, Dick Allgaier, and Harry Cooper was involved with part of it as well. So it's there, both hours. It's on the right side. Well worth a listen.
So let's talk a little bit about the future stuff. Like, Edward...
Oh, hold your thought. Before we get going. There's that one session you did that I've sent to you a couple of times. I've got it. I've never displayed it. And it's really important, I think. And I know you're overwhelmed with work and all that, but I'll send it to you again. I think that session deserves to be a subject of this program. It's that powerful. But that's just between you and I, and no one is listening right now. So.
Yeah. Yeah, at some point I could probably do that, but Edward can speak to this. As remote viewers, it's on to the next target, and we do a session and we let it go.
I understand.
Edward, you just like, wow, that's interesting. I learned a lot from it. And then 2 weeks later, you're involved in something else.
Yeah, absolutely. And then if we have to go back and talk about the session, you typically have to go back and go over it a couple times and just to remind yourselves what happened in that session. We're, and more than likely some of the most active remote viewers in the world. We never stop remote viewing. We're constantly remote viewing.
Well, nobody has... We've published more remote viewing data than anybody. I mean,
if you take the military
guys or any of their students, they don't go on camera and do a presentation every week. At Future Forecasting Group, futureforecastinggroup.com, we have several thousand videos. We have hundreds of remote viewing sessions. We publish something every week. And, like, if you go back and look at I'm sure there's stuff that's lost that is some of the most significant remote viewing that's ever been done that didn't get noticed. For example, Edward, in the summer of 2019 did a session, and he drew this weird little thing with globules with little, like, arm, little things coming out. We'd never seen the COVID virus or the coronavirus. And Edward drew that, and he said, this is an organism, and it's game of function. He said game, not gain. But he drew the COVID virus 6 months before anybody heard of it, and it went right over our heads. We noticed it by accident. Somebody was looking back for something else and said, did you see what Edward drew last June before we ever heard of this? So,
oh, it was a deadly game of function is what it was, for sure.
Yeah.
It's,
that target was, oh, man. I can't remember.
I think it was a future geolocation, like we were looking at a future event at a location, like what's going to happen at this location. And you came up with COVID.
And then I remember the debrief. In the debrief, I'm going, I'm sorry, guys. I don't know what I think I bombed on this one. Because, you know, like Dick was saying, you know, we do our sessions and then we're on a debrief and we got to go over our stuff and it's do or die. We could have a total bomb. We don't know what we have, you know. We're very courageous that way. You don't see a lot of remote viewers doing that because it takes a lot of courage to do that every week. You know, show your work under blind conditions is very few people can do it, you know. And so I remember saying, guys, I bombed on this one because I don't know what this is, you know.
And then we did, when COVID was looking like it might be a thing, they called it Corona. That would have been in, I think, December of 2019. They task us with a blind target, and so we all do our data. And the target was the New York, was it the Memorial Day Parade or 4th of July Parade? Some parade that would be happening.
It was a parade.
And nobody, nobody got a parade.
It was the Thanksgiving Day Parade, New York.
No.
Macy's Parade. Wasn't it Macy's?
What? It was a parade, and nobody got a parade. Like, we all thought, we missed target. Why are we debriefing this?
Yeah.
We all blew it. And the tasking was they wanted to see what the effect of coronavirus would be. Would there be a parade? And this was like 6 months prior, and none of us got the parade. And so...
No. We
waited 6 months and they canceled the parade because there was a total lockdown. The streets, I had drawn empty streets, but we looked at that and went, oh man, we thought we were off, but we were right. There wasn't a parade. So there wasn't anything to see.
They brought it back the next year, I think, didn't they?
Yeah. I think it was a summer day parade. Where was it?
Macy's is springtime, I think. I don't remember.
No, Macy's is Thanksgiving, isn't it?
Oh,
Macy's,
yes.
Thanksgiving.
Correct. It's too bad that somebody with a, well, they sometimes have a sense of humor. They could have made a replica of the round spiked virus and carried that down the street with ropes. That would have been in your face for sure.
That was another one of those debriefs. I remember that debrief. And it was like we were all like, holy cow, we could be wrong because this event is, you know, months out into the future. And I remember thinking, they're not going to, I mean, of course the parade is going to happen, you know. That's what I was thinking at the time.
We had no inkling back then. I mean, you have to look back and remember your mindset, but in the summer and fall of 2019, if you would have told people they're going to lock you in your house, you won't be able to travel. The streets are going to be empty. You're going to only be able to go out for an emergency. The planes won't be flying. we would have said, no way, no way. They canceled the parade, no public gatherings, right. People not allowed to go to restaurants. But it happened.
Yeah.
Well, never fear. The Japanese are about to release a self-replicating mRNA COVID vax, which is absolutely the worst possible thing you could do on the planet, because it'll be shed upon others, and they'll be self-replicating it until the day they die, which probably won't be very long. That's coming. The new one here will be released in September. Pharmacies, until they ran low, Walgreens, for example, still, a week or two ago, 3 ago, 100 a day on average, lining up to get their shots at any particular Walgreens pharmacy. 100 a day. I can't believe that. I just can't believe it. That people haven't, after all this time, figured out there's something wrong with it. But they haven't, because they stare at that screen, and their reality is created for them, compliments of the mainstream media and its controllers.
Well, Jeff, the people that administer this world are going to bring in a new system of governance, and it's going to be digitally based, and they won't need nation states anymore. And so to get us to accept that, they need World War III and an economic collapse. They need everything, trust in everything, to fall apart. So I don't want to be too cheery, but that's it. So Edward,
a lot of people are going to die, and whether they die from the nuclear exchange or from the COVID. See, I think that they've got it made. They've got it done. They put 14 billion injections out there. The planet's screwed. I mean, a lot of people are dying right now. They don't know it from these shots.
Decarbonization. So, Edward, we've got to do the monthly events. I think we have to have that done by next week. What's your workflow on that? Like, okay, they just published out monthly events. When's that due? Sunday or Tuesday or?
I think it's due in the next couple of days.
So what do you do? How do you do that? Here's Edward Reardon. He wakes up Sunday morning. You're going to do the session. What's your mindset? Do you go work out? Do you meditate? Do you take an ice bath? How do you go from getting that target ID? Because all of us is different. I've never even asked you this. From that to turning your session in, how many sessions do you do? How do you get your mind right? You have to put this conversation we just had with Jeff aside.
I know. Trust me, as we're going through it, I'm like, okay, cancel that out, cancel that. Forget about that. Let that go. For the world events, the monthly events thing, it's a totally different. I do a completely different setup personally for it. A day or two before I start, I'll want to see if something happens to me in dreams. You know, a couple of nights. I got one already that it was I would have write that down. I think it might be a world event. So I start getting myself in the mind frame for that, and then the day that I'm going to start it, ice bath. I like to do my ice baths. I like to, as strange as this sounds, I do housework because it stimulates my brain. It's all the right parts of my brain, you know, active and firing.
Busy work. Yeah, I do the same thing.
Yep. And then get to it, you know. And I might try something different, you know. I might mix it up. I might put a blindfold on and sit on the floor and try something. I might sit at the desk and go for it. I just do whatever I feel I need to do with those. Whatever's going to work. I can't do the same thing every day.
Do you do ideograms for those, or do you just sit down?
Yeah, I don't do anything structured like that, like what you know we would do in a regular session. I just go by perceptions, or if some visual comes in or some concept comes in of some sort, I'll do it. Sometimes I'll stand at the whiteboard and just write the month and year over and over and over again.
Yeah, yeah.
And things start popping in, you know. I mean, I just try different things all the time for those. I'll just do whatever I feel I need to do.
Yeah.
I like it because I can totally, just do whatever I want and see how the results are. You know, it's an experiment.
Hey, that hour went by fast.
Oh, it always does. Here's a quick one for you. Benjamin Netanyahu's psychiatrist has committed suicide. He said,
shot himself twice in the head, did he? And then hung himself?
Well, they're not saying how many times. Moshe Yatom died in Tel Aviv yesterday this is June 8th, so it's a while back, a week. Died from an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound. A suicide note, you ready, folks, at his side explained that Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who has been his patient for the last 9 years, had, quote, sucked the life right out of me, end quote. I can't take it anymore, end quote.
Wow.
How's that for a kicker?
That's a kicker.
Yeah. And that's the guy treating
Netanyahu.
Bibi for
9 years.
For his mental issues. Oh, right, boy.
Right. Yeah, sucked the life right out of him. Edward, great to talk with you again, my friend. You take care.
Thank you so much for having me back on, Jeff. It's always a pleasure.
Okay. You betcha.
Yeah. Good job on Klaus there. We nailed him, Edward. That was a great session you had. I love working with you, man.
We got a great team, man. We're lucky guys.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. See you, hey, Jeff.
Thanks so much.
Be well. All righty. Bye-bye. Good night, bye-bye, gentlemen. All right. We'll be right back with you in 21 hours tomorrow night. Take care. Thanks for being here. And beware, it's time to prepare.